Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Chad Dukes versus the world. From the Fan in D.C., Chad, how you doing, buddy?
I walked into Track Auto, actually, yesterday, Scotty, and I pulled my corduroys down, and I left a pile of my own issue on the floor there, and I said, Scotty Farrell goes to O'Reilly, so that's where I go. And I turned around on my heel, and I walked right out.
That is sweet. Yeah. So, what did you think today when they fired Dusty? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't renew his contract, so whatever. I'll tell you what the surprise, first of all, it's just horrible here in D.C. It's a transient market when something like this happens. It's clearly the biggest story in sports, but I got people tweeting me and bitching me that I'm not talking about a football game that isn't going to happen until Monday night. So it's a terrible dance that we have here in a market like this. But what the crazy part about it was that if you would have said that, like, hey, Mike Rizzo's fighting for Dusty Baker, nobody would have believed that, you know, a couple weeks ago. But then, you know, Bob Nightingale, Grant Paulson on our station, a bunch of people confirmed that Rizzo wanted it back, and that it was the Lerners, the owner group, that said, nah, we're not doing that moving forward. And I'm kind of looking at what the Dodgers have done the past few years and being desperate and saying, hey, we got to get it back to a World Series. We're willing to bench whoever. We're willing to hire whoever, fire whoever. And I kind of get the rationale, but I would say that it was 95%, 5% on my lines today and afternoon drive here in D.C. that were saying this is a huge mistake getting rid of Dusty, especially with a bunch of endorsements coming out from inside of that clubhouse from those guys that actually played for him over the past couple years. So, yeah, it was a dicey one to be sure.
So you're telling me that everybody loves him so much they're mad that he's been let go, like all the players and everything. Like, I got to tell you, though, you know, the inmates clearly run the asylum in D.C. They're still listening to these losers. Like, these dudes are the biggest bunch of losers I have ever seen in my life. Like, let's get real here for a second. There is no more disappointing team in baseball than the Nationals, who win ad nauseum every year and then go to the playoffs and tank in the first round. Like, it's a rite of fall. I mean, it is absolutely... it's never ending. Their misery is never ending. I don't care what those stupid ass players think. I'm done listening to you. In fact, I would clean house with that bunch of hacks that can't win when it matters. Who cares what they think? I mean, the guy owns the team. I got to tell you, like, I love Dusty. He's a buddy of mine. And this isn't about him to me. This is about, they need, in my opinion, something drastic has to happen with that team because they suck so bad.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of validity to what you say, and what's crazy about it, Scotty, is that one of the theories that was proposed, speaking of the inmates running the asylum, is that Scott Boras was key in this, and that he's got about 10, 11 players on this team. He's got a very close relationship with the Lerners, and one of the things that happened here going into the postseason is that Steven Strasburg said he had a bit of the sniffles and came out and said, I'm not pitching, and they went to him and said, yes, you are. And while that was happening, Dusty went to the media, and I don't want to say he sandbagged Strasburg, but he came out and people could tell that he was unhappy about his decision. People could tell that he was unhappy with the way the whole thing was going down, and that there's a theory running around town that that's really what caused the fracture here, is that Scott Boras is too involved with his team, and he's the mover and the shaker, and the Lerners didn't want to piss him off, so there you go. That's the end of it. You had Bryce Harper coming out and saying after Matt Williams was fired, he loved Matt Williams, and, you know, basically getting up and filibustering how much he dug him. And then right before this took place, after they were eliminated by the Cubs, Bryce Harper comes out and says, well, we're going to leave that up to management. I don't know. There's a lot going on behind the scenes here, and I would agree with you. It is not Dusty Baker's fault. It's not any of these guys' fault. David Johnson, Matt Williams, whoever you want to talk about, the bats fall silent outside of Harper and then Michael A. Taylor this past offseason. During the postseason, I don't know what you can do if that's going to take place. And I think a lot of the fans probably agree with your assessment.
I think your second theory, the one you just gave me about Boras and everything you just said in the last 90 seconds, was the best. No, listen, that was the best thing that I've heard yet about what is going on there. That sounds way more palpable to me than anything else. I'm going to go with that. I'm down with that. I'm going to just leave it there. Like, they are such a disappointment that I don't even want to talk about him anymore. So let's talk about the Capitals losing again tonight. Like, they're on the road against, I think, a real hack team, Detroit. Let's be honest. They're not the Russian Red Army anymore. I can't believe. Like, are they going to win tomorrow night at home, or do they just lose every night now? Because speaking of pansies.
I mean, they lost back-to-backers. They got blown out 8-2. They lose one to the Maple Leafs. They have an offense that actually can get out there and get it done. We understand that. Like, there's a lot of turmoil here with this team. They lost a lot of key pieces that have been here for a good number of years. They got a lot of young players. Offensively, they're where they need to be. The thought around town is that you get in at a 6-7-8 seed, wherever you want to slot the Washington Capitals this year. They will benefit from the fact there's less of a spotlight on them. The people will be thinking less of them, and they're lesser of a hockey team. That will behoove this team. I don't know about you, Scotty. I hate that mindset. I hate the fact that people think you're good, so you're not going to perform as well in the postseason. It is such a symbiotic relationship between the baseball team and the hockey team. And everything that you said about the Nationals, it can be prescribed almost immediately when the postseason rolls around to the hockey team. They've got talent up and down the line. They can score. They can get the President's Trophy. They can do whatever they need to do. I mean, you can pencil them in for their division, the Metropolitan, each and every year, and yet the results are the same, no conference championship. So I'm not really concerned about them in the regular season. If you look at the ratings, nobody's really concerned about them in the regular season here in Washington, D.C., because there is a lack of trust that has been fundamentally installed because of what we're talking about. The talent doesn't matter. The cast of characters, the administration with the general manager or the coach, everybody's just expecting the same results when they get to the postseason.
I think Chad Dukes versus the world, I think they're actually more of a disappointment than the baseball team because they've been around longer and they've suffered the consequences of the same thing happening over and over and over and over and over again, like way more often and way more in terms of numbers than the Nationals. The Nationals have just really been a few years here of nothingness, of failure. And I think the Capitals have got more than just failure. They've got like this stigma with the Penguins, and it's just they haunt them, and it's unbelievable. And then they played them the other night in DC and they lost to them again. It's like their worst nightmare. I'm so disappointed in them. I don't want to talk about them anymore. Let's talk about two things before I get out of here. I got 4 minutes total, respectfully. Your ratings, as you know, I am the biggest Chad Dukes versus the world fan of anyone, anywhere. And ever since they've broken you up and put you solo, people said, oh, he'll never be able to handle it. He can't do it. So blah, 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 blah. Slap you across the face. Shut up. Because Duke's continuing to rock the ratings.
Good Love point. It. Ratings bonuses and digging pools in your backyard are a great way to shut people up if they think that you can't do sports talk radio without Penn State linebackers. So
yeah.
I appreciate you noticing, Scott.
That's what I'm always rooting for, Dukes. So let me ask you. I'm glad you're doing well, dude. I'm a huge fan. I'm your boy. Hey, so let me ask you, lastly, about your crappy football team. So you're playing in Philly, in Philadelphia on Monday night. I actually think this is going to be, in my opinion, the best Monday night football game on paper leading into it. Like, I'm actually looking forward to watching the Redskins and Eagles. I think they're both decent. I think the Eagles are better. They're playing better. I think they mean business. I think Wentz is killing it. But I actually think the Redskins aren't crappy. I think they're pretty decent. And I think they're going to be game for this matchup. So what do you think?
Completely agree with you, Scotty. And if you watch that week one matchup that they had, first of all, the Redskins offensive line, for whatever reason, was not on the same page. Call it for a lack of time in the preseason, getting enough snaps, so they could not protect Kirk Cousins. Fletcher Cox and those guys got after him. But they were aggressive against Carson Wentz. And if it was any other quarterback in the league, if it was Derek Carr, if it was any of these guys they've actually gotten after and gotten on the ground, you're probably looking at a 4 or 5, 6 sack performance because, you know, Wentz's elusiveness, we've seen that all season long. It didn't take place. The big issue here is going to be, first of all, if Bashaud Breeland and Josh Norman can get out there and be effective at corner. They're both injured, but it looks like they're both going to play. Rob Kelly, the starting running back, is averaging over 4 yards a carry. We're looking to get him back. He was not available last week in that win against the San Francisco 49ers. The X factor is Jonathan Allen, the first-round draft pick. Everybody was worried about his ankle and his leg. He is out for 8 games on IR. Matt Ioannidis is kind of a second, third-year guy who's gotten better with the new Jim Tom Sula defensive line coaching that's taking place here with the new defensive coordinator. But if they can't get that push up the middle to kind of take some of that pressure off Ryan Kerrigan and Junior Gallette and all these guys that are on Preston Smith that are on the outside that have gotten a nice push from the interior of the offensive line, something the Redskins haven't had since the early 90s, certainly not with Dana Stubblefield and Dan Wilkerson. I would say that that's going to be the biggest X factor. But they are comfortable. They've won in the link the past couple of times they've been up there and have dominated this series until this year. You're a fool if you don't think this is going to be a competitive football game. The Redskins have been in every single matchup they've had, including in Arrowhead against the Kansas City Chiefs.
So I got to say, I got 60 seconds left. I want to say this last but not least. I've actually said this on the air. Now, you remember last year when I bashed Jay Gruden up and down and called him Fat Jay, and then he had his press conference and said he hated me and everything else.
Made a lot of headlines.
Right. So I want to say, as Carver High is my witness, I have gone on record. I don't know if you knew this or not. I have gone on record, Chad Dukes versus the world, that he's no longer Fat Jay. I call him no longer Fat Jay. I think he's slimmed down. He looks terrific, and I think he's doing a good job coaching. So no longer Fat Jay coaching the Redskins. So I'm giving him I'm letting him off at a hook. I no longer hate Jay Gruden. I think he looks terrific, and I'm glad he's no longer a complete fat ass.
Well, it sucks because those of us that are a little long in the waist, Scotty, look, I'm happy that you're on the wagon, but I've doubled up in my drinking to compensate for you. And the fact that I still have to get up on top of a chest
listen,
and jump into my dungarees every day, I don't like
listen,
that.
Listen, you are allowed, as much as Carver High is, to drink heavily and have a giant beer belly. Have a great weekend, Chad. I love that guy, Chad Dukes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.